Glaxo pleads guilty to making bad drugs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline has agreed to pay a $750 million fine for manufacturing defective medication. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington with more on that. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Well, fill us in on the details here. What was wrong with these drugs that Glaxo was making?
Well, Jeremy, some of the drugs had inappropriate amounts of active ingredients. Other controlled release pills could actually fall apart. GlaxoSmithKline also didn't make sure that these pills were free of contamination. Now, the affected drugs include the antidepressant Paxil. There were also problems with an ointment for treating skin infections. Luckily, no one who took these medications was hurt, and the plant in Puerto Rico, which had the problems, is now closed.
And Nancy, how did the government find out about these problems?
Well, the FDA started investigating after complaints from a whistleblower. Cheryl Eckert was Glaxo's global quality assurance manager. She inspected the Puerto Rico plant in 2002. She says she reported the problems she found to her boss, but she was fired, and that's when she went to the FDA. And as a whistleblower, she gets $96 million of the settlement that Glaxo paid. The Justice Department says this is the fourth largest settlement ever by a pharmaceutical company to the government to settle both civil and criminal allegations. And Jeremy, the New York Times says there are more federal lawsuits against drug makers in the pipeline.
Well, we'll be watching to see what those are. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Well, starting today, there's a new rule from the Federal Trade Commission meant to protect consumers who are in big debt trouble. It involves debt settlement services, companies that say they'll straighten out your credit problems for a fee. Now, as Marketplace's David Gura explains, they won't be able to charge the fee up front.
Used to be, people who turned to debt settlement services had to pay them a monthly fee to try to reduce their debt. That process could take years, and trouble was, people had to pay even if there was no progress.
In the past, you'd paid fees and really not gotten the benefit. There's a new rule now that the debt settlement companies are not supposed to take the fees until they actually settle at least one debt.
Gail Hillebrand of Consumers Union says it's high time companies were restricted from charging clients any money until they reached an agreement to reduce some of what the client owes. Jenna Keenan heads a group representing dozens of debt settlement companies. She says the industry as a whole offers a valuable service.
I think it's important that people understand there's a big distinction between actual debt settlement companies and scam artists. If they're a criminal regardless of the hat they're wearing.
And, Keenan says, many small debt settlement businesses can't operate without those monthly payments. In Los Angeles, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's check global stock markets. European markets are down this morning. Stocks in London down about a half of a percent at this hour. Asian markets were mixed today. Hong Kong's index dropped almost 2%, while Tokyo's rose slightly. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow edged up about 5 points to close at 11,169. This morning, investors will be watching earnings from Procter & Gamble and Whirlpool.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com.
Imagine you're a state government. Your tax revenues are down because of the recession. You need to make some money fast. Well, what do? You go after something everyone has and try to make as much money as you can from it. Of course, sometimes states get carried away, and here with a story about that is our regular columnist, David Lazarus. He's a consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So we're talking about a product that everyone has. What is it?
It's the cell phone. Uh-huh. And according to the wireless industry, nearly 300 million of these things are around in the United States right now. That's almost 93% of the population sporting one of these handsets.
And the states, they all want to get a piece of this action.
Well, who wouldn't with a product that ubiquitous? The thing is, it's how they get at it. For example, some states, like New York, go after the service plan. They put these big taxes on the actual amount that's being charged for the service. Now, that's why there's a law in Congress right now that says, you got to scale that back. Lawmakers are trying to decide whether that's a good idea. Other states, however, go after the actual cell phone, the handset.
And how do they do that?
Well, in places like California, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, the way they do it is they have laws and rules that say we're not going to tax you on the discounted price. We're going to tax you on the full freight of the actual retail price, even though you might have gotten it bundled with a service plan that gave you a discount or even got you the phone for free.
So if I buy a cell phone that's, say, $200, you're saying I'm actually getting taxed on what the full price of that phone was that I'd never see that price, but it might be $400 or $500?
Let's say you're offered a jacket that normally retails for $500, but they're selling you for $200.
Yep.
Under no circumstances would you ever be taxed on the $500 value. You'd be taxed on the $200. What they're doing with cell phones, and as best as I can tell, only cell phones, is taxing you on the full value of the thing as opposed to the actual price.
And how is that fair?
It's not. Not to put too fine a point on it. And I put that question to California tax authorities, and they said, well, even though the tax code says one thing, tax regulations say another, and we're just going to go with tax regulations until anyone tells us otherwise. What they've done is essentially created a loophole whereby they can get more money for this ubiquitous consumer product until someone tells them to stop.
Loopholes are always good when they give you more money. All right, David Lazarus, consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, tonight, people in New York will actually be paying for bedbugs. Bedbugs, the musical, that is. It's set in 2012 and involves a woman whose mother was killed by bedbugs. She becomes an exterminator to get revenge. And, well, you'll just have to see the rest of the you'll have to see the show to find out the rest. But make sure that you dry your clothes in a high heat afterwards. You can check out our Marketplace podcast, the Midday Update podcast, at marketplace.org, whether you have bedbugs or not. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There are some proposals out there for serious cuts in the American economy, folks. Big stuff, too, like, gee, I don't know, a 35-hour work week?
The basic idea is that there's a pool of work that needs to get done. If I do a little less and my colleagues do a little less, we can hire someone else.
I'm Kai Rizdal, creating jobs by sharing the wealth, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.